tweets, space, and wars, and a tribute to a friend.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for December 18th, 2017. I am Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Hello there, and welcome to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I'm awfully glad you're listening. I really am.
Last one for the year.
Yeah, wow, we're heading out. We're going to be off the air. We're going maintaining radio silence as we leave the country to an undisclosed location.
Yes.
Because humor needs to rest.
Correct. So it could come back bigger and better than ever.
That's right.
Sure.
Or just the same, only like,
right, a new year.
I was going to say a tan, but we're going to the UK, so no tan.
No tan whatsoever.
They're pasty people.
Because they have no sun. Rarely.
Yes, well, they have a sun. It's just behind a cloud cover. It's sort of like living on Titan.
Correct.
The moon around Saturn. Okay.
All right.
So anyway, we should do a year-end review or something, because it's been a heck of a year. It's been tumultuous as hell, and I suspect 2018 is not going to get any better.
No, but one thing that has been going on all year and does not look like it's going to stop is the president tweeting.
That's right. The Prickly Cities began the week by having Winslow begging the Twitter birds. Is that what they're called? I guess Twitter birds.
I think so.
To please stop. And Carmen the next day asking, is there nothing better to do than tweet? And of course, the president goes, no. And you're flying. What are you doing? That was adorable.
Just stretching. They can't see that, so let's move on to things
this is live for the studio, so I'm just throwing it out there because people are interested. So do we have any comments?
So Kyle of Lawcosh says, sorry, Winslow, that is the new normal, a tweet barrage from Drumpf of Orange. And people were upset. There were some people saying it's Trump, not Drumpf. But I'm probably not going to pronounce this right, but Stefanina Fla says Drumpf is actually the original family name that was anglicized to Trump.
Yes, that's why there are actually hats you see with Drumpf and stuff. That's the family name when they immigrated here to the United States.
Correct.
Dutch, right? So, is that the Dutch?
I have no idea. I didn't make that part up.
Dyke-stick and clompin' wearing bastards.
But Jay Gray says, and the snowflakes are still whining, to which Ignat says, I noticed that people who use snowflake as an insult, and that is a weird insult, are the most easily offended people you have ever seen.
Who said that?
Ignatz.
Oh, Ignatz. Regular commenter. Hey, Ignatz. It's absolutely true. It's so funny when you see like Fox News and, oh, the snowflakes can't take it. And then someone tweeted about them. Oh, they can't say that about us. Oh, it's a ridiculous. We're a country.
And both sides use it too.
We're a government of children now. It's preposterous. Anyway, so the week progressed to losers must be pounded. I just love that phrase. I don't know why. I just like the language and the losers must be pounded. That's the Trump, of course. And he then goes on to say, Trump punches down. Did people have any reactions to those?
Not as much about that. We're talking about if he has anything better to do. And Timothy Madigan says, to be honest, if all he did all day was tweet and make no decisions, I'd be good with that.
Well, I'd be good with that, too. So maybe... Maybe we're lucky.
Alex Handel wants to know, and don't you have better things to do than constantly read his tweets?
Well, I can't help it. I'm in the news business, and he's the president of the United States. I kind of came up in the world where when the president says something, you take a moment, you consider it, and you hear it. Unfortunately, we're now in an age where this president says a bunch of stuff and takes on little issues and mires himself in these little ideas. And so, yeah, it's my job to kind of point out that he's doing this. So that all comes around?
I get that.
To Scott's advantage.
All comes back to you. That's very Trump-like.
Thank you. No, wait, what?
No. We also have something this is going to get you upset.
Okay.
Jose and the Pussy Gatos, which is a hilarious name, has said Trump has been doing more important things of late. For instance, we're going back to the moon. Very bigly important. To hell with the welfare of Americans. Let's bring back some more rocks and play with them. Gets better. We're going to get so amazingly usually broke for a good cause, he promises, by going to Mars, too, because we all know how wonderful Mars is. Makes Earth look like the moon's moon. To which you had some, I know you're standing up in anger, but
yes.
Other people, you know, defended this as well. Defended it is Tim Bob 2313 says, so you want to revise history and eliminate all those nifty inventions and new materials that came out of NASA and the space program? And Coffee Cup says, I actually agree with space exploration, even though I know he doesn't give a rat's behind about it. Guess what? All that money is spent here in America and not a dime goes into space. Now you'll want to defend the space
program.
Can I go
now? Because so I am standing up.
It.
I'm actually standing up, America.
You are.
Prickly City fans, both of you. I think we're related to, well, both of them. But anyway, listen, I am foursquare for space exploration. I think it is essential. It is essential to the nature of humanity. It is essential to the nature of America. It moves technologies forward. I mean, look at this. Think about the going to the moon. You can dismiss it as doing nothing but bringing back rocks. Really? A, think of the accomplishment. B, when they started that process, they had virtually none of the technology they needed to do it. In 10-year time, they created a system that got human beings to the moon and back again. That is a fabulous, amazing, remarkable accomplishment. And the fact that we stopped doing it is criminal. Now, should we go to Mars? Yeah, Mars is not the best neighborhood in the world, okay? It's, well, you know, for instance, has a very thin atmosphere and no oxygen. Does have liquid water, we think. So that part's great. But human beings do this. We look at the horizon and we wonder what's on the other side. We look at a mountain and wonder what's on the other side of it. We look at an ocean saying, what happens if we cross it? That's what makes us human beings. Otherwise, we're just Neanderthals walking around and tweeting insults at each other. So the fact that this president actually has encouraged us to go forward, to go back to the moon and then send human beings to Mars, I think we can all get behind that and should.
Okay, okay, you can sit down now, I think.
Okay, I'm sitting down now. All right.
So then you moved on to the holiday battles.
Yes, and
Merry
I imagine
Christmas,
this got
happy holidays.
Yeah, this actually got a lot of play on Twitters, on the Twitters too. Yes, you just have Winslow screaming happy holidays, you have Carmen screaming Merry Christmas, and 'tis the season is the caption of the cartoon. And of course, the Sunday cartoon is the Amazon wish list, which is blowing up Winslow's. Which is, I was just thinking about this while I was getting ready for this podcast and looking at the drawing, thinking, you know what? I've done gags like this before. You know, the Winslow likes to have these endless lists of presents that he wants. And this is I don't know that this is, but I'm pretty sure this is the first or second year I've ever done it where it's purely electronic, purely digital.
Oh.
That back in the day,
all right,
it was on
Christmas
paper, it was long
right.
pieces of paper. I don't know. I don't know why that struck me as something interesting, but it was. But the Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays thing. Did you see this on Facebook? It got a pretty good play, and I think it was written by a priest, talking about that controversy and saying that he does not believe that Jesus would care.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah. Effectively saying that Jesus was all about, okay, stay with me here, Christian conservatives. He was all about humility. He was all about giving of himself and immersing himself. You know, often said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So the happy holidays, Merry Christmas, he wouldn't have cared.
No, and besides, I think it's ridiculous. I think whatever anyone says to you, just say thank you. And when people say happy holidays, it's in an attempt to be very inclusive to people who maybe do not celebrate Christmas. And why get upset about someone saying a nice happy greeting, but, yeah. Oh, I don't like your nice greeting, so I'm going to get all angry about it.
Merry Christmas!
Right. It's the same as people argue about whether you should say thank you and get upset when people say no problem. And it's like, someone did you a favor. You say thank you, and they respond. Now you've taken it from being a favor to turning it into something all about you, and it's ridiculous.
Well, that's because you're a snowflake.
Ah. But anyway, Red KC1 says, the non-existent, except in some of the fervent right-wing nuts' minds, war on Christmas.
Yeah, I think there has been some element of that, although there seems to be, as in all things people, there's a balance. We have a Christmas market here on Daly Plaza here in Chicago, and it's really neat. It's German, so you know it's you know right on time. But they have a bunch of good food. They have a really great Christmas ornament stuff and all that stuff. But on the plaza is Christmas a creche, the nativity scene. There's a menorah. And I'm sorry I'm laughing at atheists, but they're funny. There's a giant A. Although the A got smaller, but
smaller.
A little better. It was like more craft. Last year, it looks like the A for, we moved here from Alabama, and it looks like the University of Alabama
right,
A.
Wondering, why in the heck do they have a giant Roll Tide A at this Christmas
market? Well, it's Jesus
market,
or Judaism or Roll Tide. It's very strange, but they are allowed to have and encouraged to have the giant A for atheism right there.
Like you said, it's smaller this year, so we're wondering, maybe they're a little more questioning whoever put it up.
It seemed to be a better quality A.
It looked a little nicer.
Yeah. I'm not kidding, folks, by the way. There really
is. Whatever, I don't really care.
On Daily Plaza, there really is an A for atheism. And so, I mean, what happened is, and where people of faith get defensive, is when you have these, you know, the creches and people, you know, saying that we've had the nativity scene on the city hall property for, you know, 100 years, 50 years, whatever it was. And now they're saying that that's offensive or you need to get rid of it. That crosses the line of church and state. I think we can all be patient with each other a little bit, maybe. I don't know. Obviously, we can't. So, but that's my take. Any other comments we need to get to, Janine?
Well, I guess we'll skip all the rest of the Christmas comments. They're all pretty much the same thing. Like, mostly it's corporate America because you make money and you want to recognize that not everyone celebrates Christmas, blah, blah, blah. But also, we're going to go on to a sadder subject.
Yeah, we're going to end with this. And this is, we got some sad news here at Prickly City.
Right. Michael writes, "Dear Scott, I have enjoyed reading your strip since it has appeared in the Washington Post. As a concert promoter of many years and someone who has presented the Smithereens, I always enjoy the references to the band, especially as I come from New Jersey, too. So I have to tell you, I immediately thought of the strip and your support for Pat D upon his sudden passing. Thank you for keeping him and the band's name in front of the public. They were always great in concert, and Pat was ever a gentleman, as well as the other guys in the band. May Prickly City live on, as will Pat and the Smithereens."
Yeah, for those of you who may not know, Pat DiNizio was the lead singer and head chief songwriter for the Smithereens. A great group from the 80s and 90s, Behind the Wall of Sleep, A Girl Like You, Blood and Roses, Blue Period, a lot of them. Just a terrific band. And the way we found out about him, he actually came and played at the launch party for Prickly City back in 2004. And the way we found out about it, I'm going to tell him.
Go ahead.
Okay. The way this happened is Janine and I became fans of Bands Reunited, the show on VH1. And they'd go and find bands mostly from the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Some from the 90s and exactly what it sounded like. They'd reunite them and they'd play one night together. And it was kind of fun. It was actually a pretty fun show. And some of the bands actually said, no, I hate that guy. I'm not going to get back together with them. But when they did get back together, it was really a delight and just to see people who we liked very much back in the day. And so we went online and started thinking about bands because...
Yeah, who we'd like to see reunited.
Right. The show asked, send us your requests. And so one of them was, I loved the Smithereens. I hadn't heard from them in quite some time at that point. I thought, we look it up and they go, oh, they're still together. A lot of the bands we thought were no longer around.
We're still
around playing, you know.
Which is very cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is. You know what? If you can make your living play music, I think that's amazing. Anyway, so Smithereens were around, and then there was a Pat DiNizio page. We went to that, and one of the buttons was Living Room Concerts. And we both went,
cool.
And we clicked on it. It was an affordable price, relatively affordable. I mean, and so we thought, well, here's the occasion. This is perfect. Pat came to Birmingham, Alabama, played in our living room for 2.5 hours, and then stuck around for another couple hours.
Just it was great.
Shooting
Everyone
the breeze,
it.
Telling stories, and what a delightful, delightful guy. And so I stayed in touch because when I think someone's my friend, I'm sort of a toe fungus. I know getting rid of me. So stayed in touch. And so every October, I think it was 15th. I want to say October 15th, but sometime that week was Pat's birthday. And every year I would have Winslow bring him a cake. And inevitably eat it or fall or something and never quite get to Scotch Plains, New Jersey, where Pat's house was. And I'd always hear back from Pat, either a phone call or a text. And it was delightful. Just he got to the point where I actually illustrated the cover of his book for he had done a one-man show in Vegas called Confessions of a Rock Star. He turned it into a book, and I did the cover for the book. So, I mean, we know each other pretty well. This last time, I had, you know, Winslow try to bring him a cake, and I didn't hear from him. So I sent strips I sent the strips directly to Pat, and he never wrote back, and that's very strange. And then we heard the news that Pat Denizio passed away at the age of 62. And that was, I learned that, how modern is this? I woke up the next morning, and then Twitter, someone had written, which was very sweet, had written, Scott, I'm so sorry to hear about your friend Pat Denizio. I went, oh, what? Obviously looked up and found it out. So Pat was always a great friend of the strip, obviously deeply entwined in its history. He was there when it started, and one of the best nights ever. And pardon me, I don't know. It's just it really threw me for a loop. I was deeply saddened by the loss of our friend, and the world is a lesser place. They had just come out with their first album, The Smithereens, in 11 years.
They were going on tour.
Yeah, they'd planned to tour, start a tour in 2018. And so all of that, I know Pat has a daughter, and I know he was deeply in love with her and wrote songs about her, actually. One of my favorite Smithereens songs, She Has a Way. And so I don't know what to say. I mean, other than I mourn the loss of my friend. It was great to hear from him once a year. It was great to follow him. He actually invited Janine and I to a concert they were having here in Chicago, and it was going to be awesome. Unfortunately, we were going to go spend time with our children or some other.
No, it was the convention. It was your thing.
Was it my thing?
I blame you.
I don't blame you, because it was Marshall Crenshaw, the Plimsolls. I forget who else.
Romantics.
Just a bunch of, it's going to be great.
Groups from the 80s.
Back from the day.
From our youth.
When music was good. Anyway, so if you have a moment, if you pray, if you happen to be a person of faith, I'd ask you to take a moment and just say a prayer for our friend Pat Denizio. If not, then I would encourage you to put on some Smithereens or some of Pat's solo work. And just, it makes you happy. It's just, it makes you move. It makes you dance. Janine and I, the night after we heard about his passing, we kind of streamed some of his videos and Smithereen videos on YouTube, and we were dancing around the living room. It was kind of a nice way to mourn someone whose life was music. So, Pat Denizio, we're going to miss you a lot here at Prickly City. So, that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Thank you, Janine Fadich. And thank you, Brian Altimer, our producer. And thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, who lets us use the equipment. And until next time. Oh, wait. You know what? I have to also tell you, go to gocomics.com/Prickly City. And if you're not already, go ahead and register. You don't have to. It doesn't cost anything. But it would be great if you could do that and click the little heart thing and just like us, because that gives us a lot more love on their site, which is great, because they've got, like, I think, roughly 15.6 billion comic strips. So it kind of brings us up to the top, which is nice and gives us a little more attention. So that's gocomics.com/Prickly City. If you want to, leave a comment there. We'd love to hear from you, and we may just read it here on the podcast. And if you want to contact us directly, please do so. Just send us an email at pricklycity@gmail.com. Okay, now I think I'm ready to say thank you all for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.